Are you ready to shift gears? Yeehaw. Got your Bible? If you don't have your Bible, get your phone out. If you don't have a Bible app on your phone, get one. They're free and they're incredible. So if you have your Bible, hold your Bible up and I'm going to have you repeat after me. We're going to make a declaration because we love the Word of God. Jesus told He said in John chapter 5, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. And he told the Sadducees, Pharisees, yet you refuse to come to me to receive life. We're not refusing. We're running to him to receive life. And this book, we love it because it points us to Jesus. So repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It tells me who he is. It shows me his heart. It tells me who he says I am. I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. Tonight I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, Papa, we say, be it unto us according to your word, all that you want, all that you desire. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Come and do what you want in our hearts and in our lives. We're saying, yes, 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 come on, come on. It's you we want. We want your kingdom. We want your righteousness. We want your peace. We want your joy in our lives. Yes, yes, yes. Everybody say amen. Amen. Are you ready for our memory verse?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to miss Nathan tonight. I need to work with him, get a rhythm going good. All right. On the last and greatest day of the feast.
On the last and greatest day of the feast.
Okay, it's kind of insipid. Let's say it like we mean it. Okay, stand up. On the last and greatest day of the feast,
on the last and greatest day of the feast,
Jesus stood and said in a loud voice,
if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.
For as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. John 7:37-38. On the last and greatest day of the feast,
on the last and greatest day of the feast,
Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. John 7:37-38. On the last and greatest day of the feast,
on the last and greatest day of the feast,
Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For as scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. John 7:37-38. Okay, you can sit down. Has anybody started doing that with your kids? Oh, don't miss the opportunity. It's liable to grow into something. We started when Jana was a little girl. That's our oldest daughter who is in heaven. We started with her when she was a preschooler. We started laying up scripture in her little heart every night. And it produced fruit. I think it kept her through all the struggles and trials that she went through. And it keeps us. God's word feeds us, and it keeps us through all the difficulties that we go. But it also prepared her. Paul told Timothy, he said, I know the faith that lived in your grandma, that she passed on down to your mama, and then they passed it on down to you, and how from infancy you have known the scriptures
and they made you wise for salvation. They got you all prepared and ready for the move of God that was going to be in your life. So Jana, when she was 3, one time she came to me and she said, "Daddy, I want you to pray for me that I can talk funny like you." I knew exactly what she meant. So we prayed and led her through receiving the Holy Spirit. Guess what? She started speaking in tongues right that minute and did the rest of her life. Amen. So do it for the fun of it. Make it fun for the kids. But you know what? The Holy Spirit loves fun. And he honors that. And it just nourishes their hearts, prepares them for what is to come. To be prepared for a move of God. There's another place in the scripture where it says the Sadducees rejected the will of God for their lives. And so they missed out. And one of the ways, I'm kind of pulling from, I started to say from the dark side, only dark because that's my memory trying to grasp it. There's the idea there that you prepare for a move of God. And God prepares you. One of the things, one of the most important things that happens that prepares somebody for a move of God is repentance. That's why John the Baptist came preaching repentance in the wilderness. And it prepared all of these people that when Jesus showed up, he's the one. He's the one. We're going after him. Amen. Okay, last week, we actually didn't finish. So we're going to jump on. Tonight, the Holy Spirit is the sealer. He's the one who sealed you. And I don't know if we're going to, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. There we are. Good. Now, it is God himself who has anointed us. Say that. I am anointed by God. And he is constantly strengthening both you and us in union with Christ. How does he strengthen us? In union with Jesus. Go after intimacy with Jesus. Go after his friendship. How do you build friendship with somebody? You spend time with them. You talk. You open your heart. And then you listen to them open their heart. Do that with Jesus. Say, well, it's just hard. It's difficult. You ever had somebody that you really pursued because you wanted their friendship? Did you ever have somebody that you are now really close friends with that you went through difficult times when it was hard to communicate? Where it seemed difficult or maybe awkward? But you pursued it, you persevered through that, and your relationship got stronger. Anybody married in here? If you pursue through difficult times, your relationship is going to get stronger. That's where if you're, especially if your spouse is here, you say, amen, that's right. We are stronger now. Sharon? She was shaking her head, yes. It's through union with Jesus. How many times have you heard people say, oh, I tried that, but it just, you know, it's just so hard. It's just difficult. I'm just not very good at, you know, spending time alone with God. Or I just don't get much out of the Bible. Get one that you will read, that you understand, that you can identify with. The Passion Translation is amazing. But I've talked to people recently, and they just recently picked up a different translation, and it's really talking to them. That's the Holy Spirit putting a light on that, and that's where he's wanting to communicate to you through. That's okay. Go for it. If you sense God's pleasure on something, lean into that. How do you sense God's pleasure? There's just something inside that you think, this just really catches my attention. I just really like this. This is really good. That's most likely the Holy Spirit putting a spotlight on that, and he's wanting to minister to you and feed you through that. When you're reading through the scriptures and that happens with a verse of scripture, man, lean into that. Underline it, write it out, spend some time with it, and let him feed you with it. And if you just can't get away with it, quit trying. Go back to it and hang out there and let it get down deep inside of you. That's the way he communicates his thoughts, and they begin to change your thoughts as you're spending time on the Word of God. It's saturating you, and it's changing how you think. Change the way you think, your whole life's going to change. And sometimes we just need to get alone with God and spend time with him till we get a different perspective on something, until we think different about it. When we start to think, ah, God says this, maybe I should start thinking like that's really the way it is, and then maybe act upon that. It'll change your life. And I'm in that process, have been since 1972, and I will continue to be that in that process until the day I see him face to face. And come on day. Union with Jesus, go after it. He knows we are his since he has also stamped his seal of love. If you have your Bible open, underline that. I think it's highlighted up there. He stamped his seal of love over your heart and given us the Holy Spirit like an engagement ring is given to a bride, a down payment of the blessings to come. I love Brian Simmons' notes on chapter 1, verse 22. God has sealed believers with a sevenfold seal. And we're going to run through these real quick. First of all, a seal of security, tight, sealed tightly and secure in God's love. The Holy Spirit does that. He's the one who cries out from your heart, Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy. He lets you know how intimate and personal your relationship with God is and how secure you are in that relationship. Number two, a seal of authentication that marks us as God's very own. You are really his. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that one of the things that seal declares is that you're authentic. You're a believer. You're a child. You're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. You really are his. Am I yelling too much? I'm sorry. I'm not really, but when something gets a hold of you, it is hard not to give expression to it. It's a seal to certify genuineness. This, you are the real deal. The Holy Spirit's in you, on you. You are the real deal. You belong to him. Heaven is your home. The real deal, Papa says, you are genuine. Number four, ownership. It's a seal of ownership. You belong to God. You belong to heaven. Heaven's your home. You're a part of the kingdom of God. I'm not giving you all these verses. My apologies. If you miss some, let me know later. I'll be glad to share them with you. Number five, a seal of approval. You're approved. Ephesians 1, verse 13 through 14, and we'll read this one. And because of him, when you who are not Jews heard the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been, there it is, past tense, it's a done deal. We have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. He is given to us like an engagement ring as the first installment of what's coming. He is our hope promise of a future inheritance, which seals us until we have all of redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all for the supreme glory and honor of God. Mercy, mercy, mercy. That one's loaded, isn't it? We have his seal of approval. We have been stamped with that seal of the Holy Spirit, like an engagement ring, a down payment of what is to come. I don't know about you, but there are times with this down payment, I can't hardly handle it. Sometimes the presence of God gets so strong. Sharon giggles sometimes in the morning if we're out early on the back porch and I'm reading and leaning into his presence and I start doing that kind of a thing. And then she'll start giggling because she knows what's going on. Sometimes she asks me what's going on because she wants more. Are all women like that? They want details. Yes, I'm going to move on before I get in trouble. It is so good. His presence is so good. How many of you have ever experienced goosebumps from the presence of God? Now, a little sidetrack. How many of you have ever experienced goosebumps from the presence of something nefarious or evil? Anybody else? That's called discerning of spirits. You're discerning an evil presence that's around. Not to fear. You have power and authority over it. It must submit to you because Jesus lives in you and you speak his name. So if you ever are aware of the presence of evil, don't move in fear. Tell it to get out of there, to leave. These aren't being recorded, are they? Oh, they are? Okay, thank you. I know someone who deals and who is making their way in faith. They aren't really a believer yet. They're just, do you know people that are definitely moving that direction? And they have all their life been aware of the spirit realm and the presence of evil. And I've gotten to be friends with them. And they, one time when I saw them in a particular place, they came in and were walking beside me and said, I need your help. When I came to this place this morning, their reference to one particular type of evil was a crawler, because it was like a shadow moving across the floor. And they were concerned because the only other times they'd ever seen that, something bad would happen. And I said, where to go? And it had been seen at other times in a particular place. I said, okay, on it. And I got excited. I thought, thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity. And I got goosebumps head to toe going back to deal with that thing, because I knew, you are such a nothing. You have to go, and you cannot come back here, and you can't touch any of these people, and you are not to return. And I walked through the place praying in the Spirit under my breath, and once in a while, I like to use keys. That's just a thing with me. There's nothing in particular in the key itself. I just use it as like a prophetic act, a spiritual touch point. Some of you have even taken keys for me to Europe. Thank you. That was so exciting. And there was a crack in the floor in that place, and I just dropped a key in there, and that bound that thing and unlocked the blessing and the presence of God, and went through another. The next day, there was some other trouble in a different place, and I said, oh, no, you're not staying here. Out you go in the name of Jesus, and just deal with that. And sometimes they come back and see, you know, they'd like to test the limits. We are the limit because the blood of Jesus is on us, and everywhere we go, he has given us every place where the sole of our foot has tread. Every place that you go, whether it's your home or your place of business or a store that you shop in, you have authority in that place. He's given it to you. You are a child of God, and you carry him, and you carry the Spirit of God, and he lives in you. And so every place you go, the kingdom of God goes. And you can enforce it. You do it in a gracious, a kind way. And if it's not appropriate to do it out loud, that's okay. You can speak real loud in the Spirit without uttering anything out loud. Ask Hannah in the Old Testament. Okay, anybody know where we're at? Seal of righteousness, a seal to confirm that God transfers his righteousness to you. When you experience the goodness of God and you're overwhelmed by his presence and you get goosebumps and you're thinking, he loves me so much, I don't deserve this. Stop looking at yourself. The very act that you're feeling that is part of that affirmation that he's giving you. You're righteous. Jesus paid for everything you ever did. I see you as sinless and spotless and holy and blameless in my sight. You're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. And he sealed you with his righteousness. And number seven, it's a seal denoting a promise to be fulfilled. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted his holy influence in your life. He sealed you until you experience it all. Whew. And there's more. Let's go to the next one. And we're going to go right on into the next slide, I'm hoping, is from the Passion. And the next one. And the next one. One more? Yes, there we go. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. I write to you again, my dear friend, to give you further details about the life our Lord Jesus and all the things that he did and taught. Verse 2, just before he ascended into heaven, Jesus left instructions through the Holy Spirit for the apostles he had chosen. After the sufferings of his cross, Jesus appeared alive many times to these same apostles over a 40-day period, proving to them with many convincing signs that he had been resurrected. During these encounters, he taught them the truths of God's kingdom. Jesus instructed them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift I told you about, the gift the Father has promised. And I'm going to stop right there because the Holy Spirit's saying, you didn't do what I had asked you to, and I forgot. So, we're here to encounter him, not just to hear somebody talk about him, but to encounter him. So I'm going to ask you, we're going to go into his presence right now. You might want to put your things down and hold your hands out. In your mind's eye, see yourself walking up to Jesus. You remember what the verse said, whoever comes to me and drinks. So we're coming to you, Lord Jesus, and we're drinking you in. We want to be filled up so that we can be fully ourselves, fully everything that you've made us to be. Your strength pouring into us. Thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read through these very quickly, the seven things that we just, and he's going to highlight one or more of those to your heart. And the one that he highlights, hang on to that. He's whispering to your heart that you are secure in his love. You are authentic. You are genuine. He's saying to you that you belong to him, that you have his approval. You are approved. You are righteous. And you are destined for the promise fulfilled. Amen. Now I'm going to keep moving. I hear the beep beep. The truck's backing up to dump the whole load. So we're going to give you as much as we can. We're in verse 4. Jesus instructed them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift I told you about, the gift the Father promised. For John baptized you in water, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Every time they were gathered together, they asked Jesus, Lord, is it now the time for you to free Israel and to restore a kingdom? He answered, the Father is the one who sets the fixed dates and the times of their fulfillment. You are not permitted to know the timing of all that he has prepared by his own authority. But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be seized with power. You will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest parts of the earth. So the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. You're going to be seized with power. You'll receive power. And you're going to be witnesses or messengers throughout the world. Matthew 24, verse 14 says, yet through it all, the good news of heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God. And after that, the end of this age will come. Well, how does the demonstration happen? Jesus is spoken of in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. How is this demonstration going to happen to the whole world? Through us in union with Jesus, loving him, being filled, receiving the Holy Spirit and his power, and we're going to go about and do good and heal all who are under the power of the devil because God's with us. Remember when we went on the street on Thursday I can't even remember what we were calling it. It was a power invasion. How many of you, flood the streets, thank you. How many of you went on that on a Thursday sometime during the day? You were doing just what this said. You all did good. It may have worked itself out in different ways in each encounter. I'm sure you loved the ones that you were got to be a part of like I did. It is always so much fun when you encounter, like our leader said, you know, I'm all about fun. And he just had such a good attitude. There was a coffee shop down here, I can't remember the name, just on down the street on Delano on the left. And because we had such a varied family members, we were kind of hunting for families to bless them. And we blessed the guy or the people behind the counter and tips really well, which is always a good thing. You want a door to open into somebody's life, bless them. Give to them if you're able. Do what you can just to bless them and be good to them. That opens doors. And there was a guy between Jordan from Bethel and I, and he was ordering his, and Jordan wanted to buy the guys behind his, and he said, take the change and put it towards his order. And he said, oh, no, that's okay. And Jordan was visiting with him a little bit. So then when it came my turn and he was waiting on, I said it would take my change and put it towards his as well. So that kind of softened him, and he started visiting with us. And they were just happened to be driving through town at that place at that time. And Jordan said, well, can we come out and pray for you and your family? Because his wife and their little kids were out there. We ended up going out there, and he didn't know for sure. He said, well, if it's short because the kids are anxious and we need to go, and I don't know if my wife will be up for it. And I was picking up the coffee, and by the time I got out there, the wife was in tears because Jesus showed up. And all of us, the Lord just kept giving us all things. And every time that somebody would say something, she'd grab his legs and, oh, my goodness, they have no idea, and she'd start crying again. It was just such a God encounter. And it so affirmed them and affirmed God's love for them and his hand on their life. That's how this message spreads. And it witnesses to people that he is real, he's supernatural, and he cares. Oh, it's so good. Doesn't it make you want to go do it again? Yes, yes. Lord, I want to argue with God sometimes. just because I don't feel like I have time, but he keeps telling me, no, say that. Joseph helped me had to make a run to Goodwill and get rid of a bunch of stuff and put some stuff there. And I got to thinking on the way up there, oh, Joe's with me and he doesn't usually, something's going to happen. It'll be good. And when we got there and we were unloading, I saw one guy come out and didn't think anything about it and was putting the stuff in the cart that they brought out. And I finally looked up and it was somebody I knew that had brought the cart out that I hadn't seen since before Christmas. Sergio is his name. And I saw him and I was so excited because we had built a relationship last year and I hadn't seen him for a long time. And he came over and hugged me and would hardly let go. And we got to talking and he was saying, I would really like to get together and talk with you because of some things he's dealing with. And I want you to pray for Sergio's healing because he has something that they did something to correct and the wound has never closed and it's been months. And now he's back on his feet working. And he thought he was making progress, but now since then. But anyway, all of that, and then we got to pray in the parking lot for him. It was just so, so good. That never would have happened, and that's a follow-up. Sometimes I see you see people and you never see them again, which is awesome. We love that too. But I love it when you get to build a relationship, and the Holy Spirit wants to do that through you. You may just be showing kindness, and you may not know that a year or 2 years down the road, that's going to flourish and produce fruit, and they're going to come to you and say, will you pray for me? I'm struggling in my family. Will you pray for me? Can I talk to you? Will you pray for me? It's heaven invading earth and convincing people of his great love. Where are we? He is the Spirit of truth. He is the truth teller. Are we ready for John 14? Yes. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, second time Jesus called him the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit is always leading and directing us into truth. However, you need to cooperate with him. He is leading you into all truth. He's not leading you into, well, these are the facts. This is the way it is. You're just echoing circumstance. Circumstances will change. Truth is unchanging. John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. He's praying. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. The scripture says of itself that it is forever settled in heaven, unchanging. What God said is true and will never change. And the Holy Spirit will speak truth to you and over you. He will take the promises of God and make them real to you. And when you struggle with things like, oh, I'll never get free from this, he will counter that with the truth of his word that says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. He'll say things that are counter to what your present circumstance or feeling is. Gideon, threshing grain, hiding out from the enemy. The angel shows up and calls him what God calls him. He echoes God's heart, and he echoes God's future over Gideon, and he says, hail, mighty man of valor. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He calls you according to how God sees you. He calls you according to what Jesus paid for. He calls you according to your future and who you are. You're a living, victorious, conquering, devil-chasing, fear-stomping child of God. You live in faith and you live in the power of the Holy Spirit. You still with me? I've got 2 minutes and 29 seconds.
Hallelujah. So, I want you to consider something. And make this thought process part of your life. What has he been saying over you? You know, sometimes things will catch your attention in different ways, from a scripture that jumps out to a message in church. What has he been writing on your heart? Sometimes he has a theme that he approaches with you for days, weeks, months, years. What scriptures, what promises has he been highlighting to you? Steward them well. They are life changers, course setters, course correctors. They're food. They're power releases, the things that God has said. Paula, would you come and share very quickly your encounter while you were driving this morning?
Just as quick as possible, but give us the details so we understand.
So last night I was under really heavy attack to the point where like I really didn't sleep at all last night. And I was driving back from getting food on my lunch break today. And it literally felt like I drove through this veil and all of a sudden like I just felt everything just like whoosh off of me and like immediately just like worship and praise started like flowing out of my mouth and like the entire day shifted.
Awesome. Awesome. Amen. Tonight as I was driving here, I was sensing in the spirit I could see gentle, but multitudes, gentle waterfalls all over the area and the mist that comes up from waterfalls. And I saw you standing up. I saw you standing up in the mist and just enjoying his presence. And I felt the Lord saying, he is releasing you from worries with his peace. And then what do the girls pray over me right before we are getting ready to start? They laid hands on me, and one of the main things was praying the peace of God. So as we're, go ahead and stand. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love you so much. We love encountering you. We love that you let us see things. You let us hear things. You let us understand things and perceive things and feel things. And you want to clue us in and let us know that we are part of your kingdom and that you war with us and for us. And I know that tonight that you are releasing that waterfall of the presence of God like waterfalls of peace. And there's a mist of your presence and glory all around us. And we lift our eyes and we look to you. And we thank you that all these worries have to let go. They're washing off. They're falling away. And we are free in you, in your presence, and in your peace. Jesus, you said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. In the world you'll have tribulation, you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So tonight, Lord Jesus, we're lifting our eyes to you. And we're choosing good cheer because of you and your presence.